As Tom said, my name's Paul, and we're going to spend about 20 or so minutes just looking at this psalm in God's Word, in the Bible this morning. So if you'd like to open up your Bibles, if you've closed them, to Psalm 71, as we'll be referring to it throughout. This Remembrance Sunday morning, we've been taking the opportunity to look back with thankfulness and remembrance of the sacrifice of others who have fought and died for our freedoms. As we look back, as we remember and think about these things, I think it's natural for us to also look forward. We don't want to forget the sacrifices that have been made, but we want to also learn the lessons of the past. We want to look to a brighter tomorrow. We want hope. Despite the sacrifices that have been made for us by these people for our safety and freedom, I think it's true to say we don't know what comes next. We don't know what is round the corner. We can still feel vulnerable and insecure, not just in our national context as a nation, but in very personal ways in our day-to-day situations. This isn't a condition that's new to humanity. The Bible, even though it was written many thousands of years ago, encounters many insecure and vulnerable people. But the Bible also has answers to this. Answers that are as relevant today as they were when they were written thousands of years ago. Today, in Psalm 71, we meet one of the Bible's vulnerable. The writer of this psalm is in a place where he feels vulnerable and insecure. We don't know the specifics of his situation, but as he writes, we get to see and listen in to his call to God. Right at the beginning of this psalm, in verses 1 to 4, he calls out to God. The writer wants to avoid shame. He feels that he's in danger and needs rescue. He wants to be in a safe place, a place of refuge. There are those who wish to harm him. He writes in verse 4, "Deliver me, my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of those who are evil and cruel." As the psalm continues, he paints this scenario. We see that the psalmist fears losing strength in old age. He fears weakness. He has heard others speak about him. The people who are against him, his adversaries, they think that God has abandoned him. In verse 11, he writes, "They say God has forsaken him." The writer here clearly wants us to see his vulnerability as he cries out to God. He doesn't feel secure. He feels attacked. He wants to be rescued. He wants to be in a place of safety and refuge. He fears the future. He worries about strength fading as he ages and his honor being turned to shame. I think it's fair to say the writer of this psalm is not in a place where any of us would want to be. But in reality, it probably feels quite familiar. It's a place where we can relate to, either that we're in now or maybe we worry that one day we will be in that place. Vulnerability and insecurity come from many different places and affect all of us, whatever our social standing, wherever we come from, whatever our background, whether we're rich or poor or powerful or weak, it doesn't discriminate. It's a fact of human condition. I'm sure we can all reflect and tell of times when we felt vulnerable and insecure and uncertain. Maybe in moments, but maybe for longer periods of time, for days, months or years. It affects us as individuals, as families, and wider communities, as we've reflected on this morning. As a nation, we can feel vulnerable when we are attacked. But personally, we can feel vulnerable. It may be financial uncertainty. I can think of times when I've been made redundant, I've lost my job because the company I've been working for has been downsized or had to close. It brings uncertainty. It brings a fear of the future. We don't know how life will go on or proceed. We don't know what we'll do. We feel vulnerable. Or maybe it's a different scenario. You've experienced the feeling of vulnerability as you've sat in a hospital, as you've experienced illness. Maybe you don't understand the options going forward, or don't understand why there seems to be a lack of options. We worry because we don't know what the days ahead will hold, how the weeks will unfold before us. We feel vulnerable and uncertain. I think many of us are fortunate in that we've never really experienced the true effects of war or political instability in this country. But there are people in this congregation who have lived through war, who have lived through political turmoil. People who've had to leave everything behind. They've had to escape their country and come to a new one. A new place where they don't know anyone or anything. This must bring uncertainty, worry, vulnerability. There are also those who serve us daily on our streets as police, fire, medical and security services, who often have to put themselves, as we've heard this morning from Mary, into situations where they are vulnerable. Vulnerability and insecurity comes from many different angles. It raises its head in different ways. For all of us. And I think because of that, we all desire to be in a place of safety and security, just like this psalmist does. We want to have some idea of what tomorrow brings. We want a hope. We want to know that there will be a brighter day. We want to know that we'll see justice. We're no different from the writer of this psalm. The psalmist longs for these things. He wants refuge. He wants security. He wants rescue. We can identify with this. The psalmist clearly feels vulnerable as we read what he writes, as he calls out to God. But we also see that he has a hope. The psalmist calls for help and rescue. But those cries for help and rescue are directed towards God. This is not just a psalm of self-pity, of wallowing and lament, but it's a directed call to God for help. He calls on God to be his place of safety. He calls God his refuge, his rock, his fortress, his hope. In a very personal way, the psalmist recognizes God to be that security in the face of attack and difficulty. He realizes his security is not solved by his own hand, but as it is in God's hands. But how can this psalmist be so sure? How can he know that God can help in this situation? Well, he tells us about God's character. The psalmist understands a bit of what God is like. He knows that God is righteous. He describes him as righteous. And that means God is perfectly right in everything. This means that God can be trusted, that he will bring about justice, that he will act. The psalmist can therefore confidently call for justice and for God to deal with those who want to bring shame and harm against him. The psalmist also talks of God's power. In verse 16, he describes God as the sovereign Lord, as mighty. In verse 19, he describes God as great. The writer of the psalm is telling us that God is indeed powerful. He is powerful over everything. He's the creator of the universe, and he has a plan. I think we have to recognize this isn't necessarily a plan we can understand or comprehend. And it may be confusing to us. We may feel lost at times, but we can trust that God is perfect, that he does have a plan, and he's good and right, and that he has the power to carry it out. The psalmist also tells us about another characteristic of God, God's faithfulness. The psalmist, he knows that God is faithful because of God's righteousness and perfection. God cannot go against that nature. When God makes a promise, he is faithful to it. The psalmist has got a real experience of God's faithfulness. It's just not just an abstract idea, kind of words on a page. He's seen it. The psalmist talks about God being a hope and a confidence since his youth, even from before his birth. In verse 6, he says, "From my birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you." He talks of God, the reliance of God, even in his birth, when he had no understanding of what's going on. God has been with him from the very beginning and is still with him when he writes this psalm. The psalmist tells throughout the psalm of God's actions that he has witnessed. He talks in verse 16 and 17 about how he will tell of God's righteous and marvelous deeds. He tells us that he has seen rescue already and has been rescued from those who want to cause him harm. As the psalmist cries out for help, he also cries out in praise and testimony to what God has already done for him. He knows God's faithfulness. He has seen God act. And all of this gives certainty to him as he writes, as he calls out to God for help. He knows what God can do in the future. He knows that God is powerful to act. He knows that God has a plan and that God will be faithful to it. When faced with difficulty and vulnerability, the author of the psalm looks back over what God has done. He looks at God's character and he knows that that gives him hope. His certainty, his knowledge that he will be rescued, that justice will be done, is rooted in God's character, and he knows that that does not change. When we're experiencing times of vulnerability and insecurity, isn't this what we long for? We want that certainty. We want to know that there is a plan. We want to know that there is purpose for what is happening, and that there will be some kind of conclusion to it all. The psalmist has this. I think for those of us who trust God, the psalmist is also a challenge to us. He doesn't fear telling others what God has done in his life. He wants to praise God, even though he feels scared and vulnerable. Every follower of God, like the psalmist, has stories of God's faithfulness. It was great to hear this morning of Mary sharing how God was faithful to her in vulnerable situations. These are stories that should be told and listened to. So tell those stories. Praise God for what he's done in your life. Tell others. It encourages others. It helps them to be reminded of God's character and God's faithfulness. So I think this morning, if we're honest, if we look at this psalmist, I think we can relate to times in our lives when we have felt like him, when we felt scared, we felt insecure, we felt vulnerable. When we have times in our lives when we're not sure what's going to happen next. We want that hope and certainty that the psalmist has. We want to understand that there is a plan, and life isn't just a random sequence of meaningless events. The psalmist recognizes that life isn't easy and won't be easy in the future. There's no guarantee that life for someone who follows God is easy. The psalmist writes this in verse 20, "Though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life again from the depths of the earth. You will again bring me up." The psalmist has that certainty that we long for, that he will be made safe, that justice will be done, and that evil men and women will be held to account. Despite his situation, he shows that he can trust God for security, and that he won't hesitate to tell others about that. So how can we step into the shoes of this psalmist? If we long to have that certainty and we see the psalmist have it, how can we have it? As we look through the window of this psalm onto the psalmist's life, we see his relationship with God. It's very clearly a personal relationship, a relationship that is warm and real. He expresses deep and intimate worries and concerns. This is not a cold, distant relationship, but one that is warm and meaningful. Hope this morning that as you maybe spend some time talking to one another afterwards, you'll find those deep and personal relationships between God and his people here. There are people in this room who can tell amazing stories of what God has done in their life. Ask them about it. Ask them how God has given them hope and certainty in difficult times. But this isn't a relationship that we develop on our own. It's not something we can go about building ourselves. The Bible is very clear about that. The psalmist speaks of God's righteousness, his holiness, his perfection. But as we've sung about this morning, we're people who are broken. We live in a world that is broken. We've messed up. We've made wrong decisions. And that fundamentally breaks our relationship with God. But there is something that bridges that gap, that allows us to have our relationship with God restored, so that we can stand in the shoes of the psalmist. The Bible gives us the answer from Jesus' very words. Actually, the answer comes at a time of great vulnerability and insecurity for Jesus' followers, the disciples. Jesus has been speaking of his imminent death, and one of the disciples, Thomas, asks Jesus this. This comes from John chapter 14, verse 5. Thomas said to him, that's Jesus, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Thomas expresses the disciples' vulnerability and insecurity. They don't know where they're going. They don't know what's going to happen next as Jesus goes to the cross, and they cannot comprehend what they're supposed to do. Jesus responds to Thomas with this. Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Trusting Jesus is the way that we can have that real relationship with God. That is how that gap is bridged. And this is a relationship like the psalmist that brings joy and hope even in the face of difficult circumstances. We've seen that this psalmist is in a place of vulnerability and insecurity. He wants hope for the future. And the relationship that he has with God brings that hope and that confidence. I think we can identify with the way that the psalmist feels. We know of situations in our own life where we find life hard and difficult and uncertain. And we want to be in that place of hope and security. We can be in those shoes. Jesus tells us that he is the way to God. He is the way that we can have that warm, real relationship with him, where we can come to God and tell him our struggles. We can call to him for hope and rescue.